three messages that I've been invited to give. I want to talk about the theme of our relationships in the Christian family, particularly in about communication in the family. The purpose, or the theme of this morning's talk is the value of the human being. And my objectives in speaking on this theme this morning are to convince every person here that the human being is infinitely valuable. And I'll try to show you why that is so. And I have a corollary purpose, and that is to communicate an appreciation of the value of femininity, which is included in the very personality of God. For our text, I'd like us to turn to Genesis chapter 1, to verses 26 and 27, where the history of humanity begins. And before we read this, I'd like us to pause just a moment to ask the Lord's help in understanding and interpreting His word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Spirit attend us closely as we begin this reflection on Your word. We pray that He guide our thoughts. Help us to be open to His leading. We pray that all we say give honor to the Lord Jesus and be in accord with Your word, and that it help us to love and appreciate each other the way You do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Some 20 years ago, when I was participating in a missions conference in a nearby state here in the United States, I overheard a snatch of conversation between the parents of a young baby and another couple who were admiring the beauty of this child. The baby indeed was a beautiful example of what human infancy can be. And I had noted this before I overheard the conversation. When the parents received the compliment, the father responded with the mother's obvious agreement. "Oh, she's pretty all right, but the nature of sin is in her just like in everyone else." And I thought when I heard that response, this child is going to have a difficult upbringing. It's true that the nature of sin is in every human being, no matter how attractive she or he may be. But that does not detract from her value, precisely because she is created in the image of God, and that makes her infinitely valuable. There are two evidences in the Word of God that point to the infinitely high level of esteem and valuing with which God regards every human being. One is what we've already read, that God has shared with this species to which we belong His own very nature. He has made us to be the reflection of Himself. The second evidence from the Word of God that He values every human being infinitely is that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In order to begin the process of restoring and perfecting again the divine image that we marred and defaced by our rebellion and our sin against Him. Those are the evidences in the Word of God that show that God values humanity in spite of our sin. In verse 27, we see that the nature of God includes femaleness. And I think that this, in the context of our particular Christian community's history, needs to be emphasized. When God created humankind in His own image, with Himself as the source of this new being, He created humankind both male and female. Therefore, femaleness is included in the nature of God. This does not mean that we should call that God is mother, nor that He should be called she. But femininity is important and should be deeply valued. More men than women are born, but more women survive and they live longer. Thus, there are more women alive at any given moment than men. This is because we men foolishly kill ourselves in wars and violence. And besides that, we succumb more easily to disease than women do. Men are physically stronger, but women are biologically and emotionally stronger than we men are. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I can't exhaust this theme. But I want to share with you some thoughts that have occurred to me concerning this subject. I mentioned this first point once before when I spoke last fall. One of the things that it means to have been created in the image of God is that your spouse and your children determine their behavior by their own choices, not by instinct. God is infinitely and totally sovereign. There is no influence in the universe that obliges Him to anything. Every behavior of His is made by decision, His own decision. There is no external force that operates on Him that is beyond His control. Now He, on creating us in His image, has shared His sovereignty with us, making us able and therefore responsible to decide with what behavior we will respond to every situation. Because we are immature and still in process of becoming what we are able to be, both as human beings in the secular sense and very particularly in the spiritual sense as Christians, those of us here who know Christ as our Savior, our sovereignty is only partial and incomplete and in process of formation. But indeed, both through common grace and through special grace, God is allowing us to extend the domain of our sovereignty so that now we can control, we are learning to control an ever greater scope of our, of the circumstances that influence our existence. So that we have learned to conquer more diseases, to be able to live longer, to communicate with any other human being on earth in any, almost any place on earth, instantaneously, to travel with great rapidity and even beyond the domain of our own earth. We participate with God in His sovereignty, and only of, among all the other created species, the angels and we share in His sovereignty. Now, because we choose our behaviors, we must learn how to behave in a way that the lower species don't have to learn. The lower species are born with instincts which mean behaviors that they don't have to learn, that are programmed into their nervous systems. Nobody teaches a bird the route of its migration. It can't do anything else but follow the twice yearly migration routes that it follows. But you and I are different. We have to learn how to behave because every behavior of ours is a choice. And even in those situations in which circumstances are imposed upon us that are undesirable to us and contrary to our own choice, the way we respond, our mental response to that situation is a behavior that we choose, such that even if I were a victim of other people's violence, I can choose to respond in my mind to that violence in a way that retains my dignity because I am a human being created in the image of God. Choosing our behaviors makes us responsible to each other for the effects of our behavior. Because what I do can have an effect on you, I am responsible to you for the behaviors that do affect you. Another thing that it means to me to have been created in the image of God is that your spouse and your children can be creative. They can originate ideas and behaviors that enhance your existence. They are able to say things and do things that contribute to your well-being and your happiness, generating from within themselves these words or these behaviors. Only human beings and angels created in the image of God are able to exercise ingenuity in finding ways to enhance each other. Another thing that it means to me to be created in the image of God is that we human beings are able to ascribe meaning to events, places, people, and things. Because we can ascribe meaning to things, we are able, as the lower species are not, to reflect on the meaning of our own existence. your spouse and your children can understand the propositions such as the following. All things were created through Christ and for Him. Colossians 1:16. Thou didst create all things, and by thy will they existed and were created. If you are in Christ, you are going to participate in singing those words to God in the future eternity when you and I are united with Him in the heavenly places. Now, we human beings are able to ascribe meaning precisely because we share in the nature of God. God exists in three aspects of His personhood. We also, as human beings, exist on three levels of our personhood. The lowest level of created life is plant life, vegetable life. Plants have a body, but they are not sensate. I'm not convinced by the research that says that if you talk to plants, they're healthier. They have a body, but they are not conscious of their existence. Animals, created later in the divine creative sequence, have both a body and they are aware of their existence. They have consciousness. While the human being created in the image of God has a body, a consciousness, and a spirit. And it is on the level of the spirit that we are able to conceive meaning, ascribe meaning to happenings and to things. We are able to ascribe meaning to life itself, to existence. And therefore, we are able to understand, as the lower beings are not able, that the meaning of life is more important than life itself. Evidence of this is found in the Word of God when the psalmist says in Psalm 63, "Thy mercy is greater than life." Evidence of this is found in the fact that we are heirs of the noble heritage of martyrdom. Brothers and sisters in Christ who sacrificed their lives rather than renounce their faith because their commitment to Christ was more important than their survival. And because of their commitment, they conserve faith in Christ for us because they demonstrated to humanity that Christ is important, as would not have been demonstrated if they had not found Him more important than their own survival. The lesser beings are driven in all their behaviors by the instinct for survival, either the survival of their own individual existence or of the existence of their species. But you and I, created in the image of God, find other things more important than survival itself, because we know that survival is for something. And we find in the scripture that it is for the one who created us and who died for our redemption. Now, because the human being can ascribe meaning to things, we are able to use symbols and engage in ceremony. And in so doing, we manifest our humanity and we enhance our dignity. I'll give you some examples of this. A symbol is an object, often useless in itself, that represents some transcendent reality. For instance, the ring you placed on your wife's finger when you married her. Quite useless, but laden with meaning. The flowers you give her, not good for anything except to look at, but also laden with meaning. There should be flowers in the life of your wife. The note you pin to her pillow. All words written and spoken are symbols. The candles she places on the dinner table. They're absolutely needless. There are more efficient ways of illuminating a space. But the light of those candles reflects in her eyes as she sits across them. The birthday cake that means we celebrate your existence. Only human beings created in the image of God can attach importance to this kind of thing. And if we are to confirm our humanness and to live it to its utmost possibilities, we will use symbols in our lives. Reference to symbols in the current popular music is disappearing. The content of the lyrics of today's popular music make reference to substance and material and matter, such as pillows, cabins, and bodies. In contrast to the popular music of my childhood and my youth, whose lyrics spoke of stardust, moonlight, and tears shed for unrequited love. I'm not saying that those earlier popular expressions of culture were godly. What I am saying is that we in our present culture are dehumanizing ourselves by abandoning the use of symbols. And our youth are becoming impoverished because they think in terms of matter and immediate experience instead of symbol. Ceremony is an act unnecessary to an occasion that gives the occasion transcendent significance. Examples. You walk with her instead of ahead of her when you are out shopping together, by which you say, I'm proud to be with you. And this occasion is significant to me because you are here. You hold your coat for her, and you open doors for her, and you hold her chair for her when she sits down. These are all unnecessary acts, but they are ceremonial expressions of your valuing of her and your dignifying her and yourself by so doing. And you're saying to her, I want to protect you. My strength is available for your enhancement. And all the traditions that you establish which dignify your marital and family life and make it special and form the substance of your children's future memories. These are things that enhance your humanity, the fact that you are created in the image of God. Now, as you've already recognized, symbol and ceremony are the essence of romance, of which only those who share the divine image are capable, and which gives vitality to lasting relationships and human experiences. Romance is the divinely approved way of a man with a maid. Another thing that it means to us to have been created in the image of God is that we have the use of language. The word is within our domain. And I'm going to expand on this, Lord willing, next week. And one more thing. We human beings, being created in the image of God, have the ability to communicate with ourselves and take counsel with ourselves. This because we have the use of the word, and this because we exist on three separate levels of our being, which are able to communicate with each other. As God, in whose image we are created, exists in three aspects of his being. What I have tried to do in speaking of this theme this morning is to insist that the persons who share your existence on intimate terms are valued infinitely in the sight of God. He created them like himself. And because that likeness was marred and disfigured, he sacrificed his own life in order that that image in her, in them, might be restored. They are not depraved beings, as a brilliant theologian of two or three centuries ago declared. They are valuable. And God wants us to esteem. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we can only thank you for making us to share your existence and to create us to be able to appreciate your glory. In saying this, we are making use of the attributes that you have given us by creating us in your image. We pray that you help us to love the people with whom you have privileged us to live the way you love. We ask it in Jesus' name.